There we go. All right, so let's get started tonight. So, hello once again. There's someone else. Welcome.
Yes. Hi.
Okay, welcome to the call. I'm welcoming all of you to the monthly membership call for May, and hopefully many of you took part in our previous calls. I see some of you have. Terry, thank you, and Azam, and thanks for rejoining us this month. We're really happy to have you back. And to any of you who are new and you have not called before, I'm really glad you decided to join us, and especially tonight. Welcome to all of you who are taking part in the call. So once again, I will reiterate our intent with these monthly calls is to provide a forum for all of you for more open communication between members, member leaders, groups, to provide a space for member-to-member communication and sharing out. So we're glad you're part of it tonight. My name is Edwin Gore. I'm membership coordinator at Amnesty International in the membership mobilization department. To give background, I've worked at Amnesty for many years, actually a few decades, first in development and now in member engagement. So tonight we want to focus on one of Amnesty's long-standing campaigns, and that is to end capital punishment. Our call this evening is going to examine Amnesty's ongoing work to stop executions in all cases, but specifically to focus on our work in the U.S. I'm really pleased tonight to have a very impressive panel of speakers to address this issue, very qualified. So we will be joined by James Clark, who is AIUSA's senior campaigner on the death penalty, Christy Hargesheimer, State Death Penalty Abolition Coordinator for Kansas, and
Nebraska.
Ernest Coverson. Oh, Nebraska. Oh, sorry. I had that on my mind. Sorry, Nebraska. And Ernest Coverson, Senior Field Organizer in the Midwest. Just to fill you in, we will allow time for any questions you may have, and we welcome that. Please feel free to share. I have two requests for those who are calling today. One is please remember to mute your phone until you're ready to speak. And then when you do speak, please state your name and just where you're calling from so we know who we're talking to. All right, so let's get started. Jim, could you please introduce yourself, provide a little background? We can begin.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining this call. My name is James Clark. As Ed said, I'm the senior death penalty campaigner for Amnesty. Just a little background on me and how I got into this work. I started doing anti-death penalty work in 2008. When I was a student in Atlanta, I got very involved in Amnesty's campaign to save Troy Davis. So I started working, I became a student organizer on my campus, my grad school campus, to rally folks to come to Amnesty events to stop the execution. Eventually, I started working with the local coalition there, Georgians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty. And that's where I started working professionally against the death penalty. Eventually, I'm from Los Angeles originally, so eventually I moved back home and I started working at the ACLU of Southern California. I worked there for about 3 years as the Los Angeles death penalty abolition organizer. And I was also working, I was the regional coordinator for Proposition 34, which was California's ballot initiative in 2012 when we tried to abolish the death penalty here in California and narrowly missed. So that was in 2012. After that, I came over to Amnesty. I started working first as a field organizer. And for the last about year and a half, I've been our senior death penalty campaigner. So I also wanted to give just a brief overview of what Amnesty's death penalty campaign looks like, how it's structured, a kind of quick state of the work, and how things look with the national picture of the death penalty campaign. And then I'll turn it over to Ernest to talk a little bit about our coordinators program. So the death penalty abolition campaign at Amnesty is really made up of a strong network of coordinators called SDPACs. Those are State Death Penalty Abolition Coordinators. So a lot of you may have worked with your SDPACs in your state if you're involved in your state's death penalty campaign. But a lot of states may not have SDPACs currently. So you may or may not have worked with those folks in the past. But SDPACs are really the representatives in each state of Amnesty's death penalty campaign. They work a lot like similar to the way ACs and LCs work in organizing Amnesty members and Amnesty groups, but they're focused specifically on the death penalty. And that allows them to really develop a strong expertise over a number of years. Many of our SDPECs have been serving for years and years and have developed a strong expertise as well as really strong and powerful partnerships within their state. So every state that has the death penalty has a local coalition working to abolish it. And the SDPECs work in concert with their local coalitions and connect those coalitions with Amnesty members. So when your state has might have a bill or another action or a high-profile execution coming up, your SDPAC will be the one to alert the local groups and get them involved. And so Amnesty, as you know, as Ed mentioned, we oppose the death penalty in all cases, no matter the case or the character of the criminal. But at the same time, we also focus on highlighted cases. And we pick out those cases that really demonstrate the injustice of the death penalty in a stark way and have a strong capacity to mobilize large groups. So Troy Davis was one of the best examples of that. Again, that's how I got involved in this movement. So we feature cases and we mobilize our membership to take action in individual cases. And then we also work on state-by-state abolition campaigns. And that's where our members work with local coalitions to try to pass a bill. Sometimes it's a bill to reform the death penalty, to use it less often. Sometimes it's a bill to abolish the death penalty. Sometimes we're working defensively against a pro-death penalty bill or a bill to maybe update the method of the death penalty or something like that. And so we'll mobilize our activists in the legislature to try to abolish and minimize the death penalty as much as possible. And finally, we do public education in order to really change the media narrative and change the public opinion about the death penalty. And all of that is to push the American public and the state houses across the country towards abolition, which, as we all know, is really the overall trend in the United States, is moving towards abolition. So that actually brings me to the state of the work right now on the death penalty in the United States. And so, as I said, the trend is absolutely towards abolition. Currently, 18 states have abolished the death penalty completely. And we have 9 more states that still have the death penalty on the books, but they have not had an execution in 10 years or more. So, and effectively, they've just halted the death penalty for all kinds of reasons. And so with that, we actually have come to 27 states, 18 abolished and 9 who've halted. So that's a majority of states. That's a new thing. For the first time this year, we've reached a majority of states that have halted the death penalty either in law or in practice. And that's really a demonstration of the momentum against the death penalty and showing that in reality, it's just a small number of states that are using the death penalty excessively and even a small number of counties that are sending people to death row. The majority of the United States has really moved beyond this punishment. And we've also seen in recent years that the Supreme Court has continued to limit the use of the death penalty. So they, for example, they've identified juveniles and people with intellectual disabilities or serious mental illnesses as people who are exempt from execution. So we see that as really a sign that the Supreme Court is recognizing what's called the evolving standards of decency. And so that evolving standard of decency is the legal rubric that the Supreme Court is using to decide if and when to abolish the death penalty nationwide. And so what our job is in our death penalty campaign is to convince the Supreme Court that our standard of decency has evolved to the point where all executions are unconstitutional. And we show that by abolishing the death penalty in more and more states and by reducing the number of executions that do happen. And so we're really focused in on ultimately swaying the Supreme Court to abolish the death penalty nationwide based on that evolving standard of decency. So that's really the kind of end game that we're pursuing with our death penalty abolition campaign. And the tactics to get to that end game are abolishing it state by state, reducing executions, and swaying public opinion. So that's really the overview how we do our death penalty work, what Amnesty's death penalty campaign looks like. And so before I pass it over to Ernest, Ernest will talk a bit about the SDPEC program. But before I do that, I wanted to open it up for any questions about anything I've covered so far.
One question about the evolving sense of decency. Where did that term originally come from?
That's a great question, and that's a term that is that originates in the Supreme Court itself. So I'm actually not sure of the exact case history of the term. I don't know what case originated the term, but it is a legal concept that the Supreme Court has developed that they use to apply the Eighth Amendment, which is the amendment that prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. And it's basically the recognition that what was considered cruel and unusual punishment in 1789 is, you know, we have very different standards of what's cruel today. And so it's that recognition of judging the evolving standard to decide when it's appropriate to apply the Eighth Amendment in a new way. So when it comes to the death penalty, we're really asking the court to say, you know, we never thought it was cruel and unusual before, but now we've come to the conclusion that it is, in fact, cruel and unusual. So the evolving standard of decency is the Supreme Court's term for judging that. Great question.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
How many states have abolished the death penalty?
Currently, 18 states have abolished the death penalty. And Nebraska is the kind of asterisk, confusing exception, because Nebraska abolished the death penalty last year, but now they're trying to bring it back. So they we'll hear more about Nebraska later in the call. But currently today, 18 states have completely abolished the death penalty.
Thank you. I have a question.
Sure.
From Maryland, we recently, a couple years ago, abolished the death penalty here. And it was always focused on our own state. Do you feel like it's effective for people from other states to agitate for a state to abolish?
That's a really great question. And to be honest, it actually depends on the specific needs of any given state. So I think there are some times in some states where it becomes very effective to have national or even international pressure. But in other states, you know, there are times when the decision makers in a given state might be more put off by that external pressure.
That's what I wonder about.
That does happen. And so it really kind of, that's why we have to work so closely with the local coordinators in each state to know what's necessary in this state. And to be honest, you know, there aren't very many opportunities for out-of-state action. But we happen to be in a case this year where actions across the country are going to be extremely effective to help Nebraska. So that's one of the reasons why later on in the call we're going to really focus on Nebraska to hear about how we can all help in that state.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, well, thank you, callers, too, for, again, bringing up your name and where you're calling from. We appreciate that. So can we move on then to Ernest?
Cool. Good evening, everybody. It's Ernest Culverson, State of Senior Organizer out of Chicago office. I've been on staff now for, I think, 5 years with Amnesty. Concentrate majority of my time here has been in Chicago working with the Midwest. And then, you know, doing Amnesty work even before I came to Amnesty. We partnered with one of my previous employers. I worked for NAACP, partnered with Amnesty to do work around the Save Darfur campaign. And so I've been doing it on volunteer side as well as now staff side as well. So glad to join you this evening for this important conversation that we're having in light of what you will hear later on in the agenda around what we all can do in Nebraska. And so with that, I want to go into the SDPAC, or the State Death Penalty Abolition Coordinator position that we have across the country. Some of you may have heard of it, some may have not. Some states that's represented on the phone may be in need of this volunteer leadership position for our members. So most definitely take this information this evening and spread out throughout your membership, friends, family that may be in line with us in regards to abolishing the death penalty. But the primary role of the SDPAC is to serve as the local coordinator for Amnesty's death penalty abolition advocacy in your state or in his or her particular state. They keep the AI groups and the volunteer leaders as well as staff informed of death penalty news in the state, including upcoming executions, death penalty-related legislation. You know, as James was saying, it's a state-by-state battle, and so most definitely the SDPAC helps us keep to monitor these various states and legislation and lead the work that we do in those particular states. So most definitely knowing legislators is always a good plus for the person. Coordinating with the death penalty campaign directly with James. You'll be coordinating and coordinate with that with James as the staff person, and then the national SDPAC team. So all of you come together and do a training, typically once a year, get those marching orders from James and his team and what's coming up for the next year and what we need to be working and moving. Mobilize activists to take action when needed. When executions are scheduled, you know, we thankfully get to halt executions, but most definitely we like to get those executions highlighted. Folks can see that there is a movement to eliminate and stop and abolish these executions. Mobilize activists to engage in grassroots legislative advocacy, including meeting with legislators and other decision makers. Plan and implement Death Penalty Act education events for AI members and the community, which is a big piece as well. And even with states that don't have the death penalty, always educating and continue to educate folks on what the death penalty is, what's going on in the death penalty, not only here domestically, but also internationally on what the death penalty or what countries are doing, what around death penalty works. So educating the community. You know, I found it interesting as I've been out talking to students and student groups and classes this past couple of years, that's been a major question I ask, you know, who supports the death penalty? And even for 16, 17-year-olds that have been friends with, you know, some of the folks in the class for years, maybe since elementary school, realize that they're on the opposite side of the coin when it comes to death penalty work. And it's been very good debate, very good conversation that's taken place amongst students around the death penalty. So educating the community, you can get those debates, those conversations going amongst folks that may think they know what their friends, their next door neighbor already thinks. So those are always fun for me. Train AI members in death penalty activism to build an effective volunteer team, and then submit quarterly reports using the online form the first week following the close of each quarter, so we can keep track, James can keep track of what's going on with you as a death penalty coordinator. The SDPAC also works closely with the Anti-Death Penalty Coalition partners. So as you know, all the work we do, many times we have coalition partners, we have other organizations, friends that are doing this work in other parts of the country, in D.C., around the world. And so there could possibly be groups right in your backyard that you could work with in doing this work. So the SDPAC serves as Amnesty's local representative in state anti-death penalty coalitions. Many states have, you know, a Missouri against the death penalty, a Illinois against death penalty. So those coalitions, which are member groups, of different organizations. So the SDPAC would be Amnesty's representative at that coalition table to continue the work that, you know, you're doing in that particular state. Coordinate between coalition leadership and Amnesty membership and staff, again, keeping us abreast from a field organizer position on up to James as a death penalty campaigner. work with other organizations and organizers in the state to coordinate overall statewide strategies and activities surrounding abolition of the death penalty. And lastly, to build partnerships with related organizations outside the death penalty abolition movement, especially organizations related to racial and criminal justice. Because as you know, the death penalty fight is part of a bigger fight that we are all involved in regards to mass incarceration, the criminal justice system as a whole. And so each piece of this helps to break down all of those barriers. And so not only building partnerships with the death penalty community or anti-death penalty community, but also with other organizations from the NAACP to a, children against, incarceration, to parents against gun violence. All of those pieces help to build a bigger coalition that we need and continuously need to push anti-death penalty work. So the SDPAC would be very critical, be a critical point person in individual states to do that work. And so the SDPAC is expected to stay in contact with the broader team and Amnesty membership with regular communication and by attending the regional conferences, the national conferences, and as I stated earlier, the SDPAC has an annual gathering when possible. They come together and have a conversation. There is a one-year commitment required. 2 years is preferred to move this agenda that we have. And so we are always looking for SDPACs in the state. And it could be individuals that are currently in Amnesty and individuals that are not in Amnesty right now. We always are looking to build our membership. So if you know folks that are even not in Amnesty but have a passion for anti-death penalty work, have a conversation with them. See if they're in, if they would like to. If you don't have this job description, we can, either through your field organizer or through James directly, we can get you the job description and share with them that we could possibly get some new members to the team to help this fight that we are continuously in, state by state, but winning. But we still need some new soldiers on the team as well. So that's what the position entails. Questions, thoughts. Did it make sense? Didn't make sense.
I had a question. It came up in our last Amnesty meeting that Pfizer was saying they weren't going to use their drugs for death penalty. And I was wondering, would it be a good thing for Amnesty International people to write Pfizer and thank them for that?
Hey, this is James. Great question. Thanks for bringing that up. So this is actually the issue of pharmaceutical companies that are trying to prevent their drugs from being used in lethal injection has been a really sensitive subject when it comes to activists, because when this has been litigated in courts, when we've taken this issue to the Supreme Court has actually blamed activists for the lack of drugs being available. The conservative justices have blamed activists for the lack of drugs being available. So because of that, we're actually taking a really delicate approach, and we don't want activists to take action or thank the pharmaceutical companies or really get involved in that. I really appreciate that. I think it's a good thought. And, for a time we were doing that advocacy actively and trying to push them. But once that kind of backfired in court, we all had to take a step back. And that's really a good example of how sensitive this kind of advocacy can be.
Thank you.
Anyone else have a question about the death penalty abolition coordinators?
This is Terry Riddell, and I'm the SDPAC from Oregon, and I'm part of the Working Coalition. There's not much happening in Oregon right now, but what I was wondering is there is some discussion about aligning the death penalty with the criminal justice reform movement, and I remember hearing about that discussion when we had our talk last, our training last summer. Are there any plans or timetable or documents, materials that Amnesty is producing to move in that direction?
I would say that happens more in the context of our local partnerships and the coalitions that we build in each state. And so I think a lot of the SDPACs are working with their other state groups in their state that are focused on criminal justice reform more broadly and racial justice organizations to try to build up those partnerships and make sure we're working closely together. But no, there haven't been any materials developed by Amnesty to work on that. But that's a great thought. Maybe we can work on that moving forward.
James, the reason I bring up the question is we're already working with other groups of that are working on criminal justice. So that's not the issue. With the ACLU and church groups, my thoughts were, and there are concerns within my coalition, that if the criminal justice movement takes priority and the subject of the death penalty could be downplayed and actually maybe overrun or forgotten. So my question was related to maybe if Amnesty and other movements have developed materials or talking points that say, hey, the death penalty is important on that. I know this isn't the topic of the call, but I'm just thinking in terms of future work or how to model our work while until the state either faces some big vote or legislation or even an execution.
Yeah, that sounds great. I appreciate that. Thank you, Terry.
So the bottom line is you haven't yet then. I mean,
right. We don't have those materials yet, but if, you know, I'd love to work with you to develop some of them.
Yeah. Because I think it is a really concern that among my coalition, some parts of it, that the focus, if it goes to criminal justice, then the funds, the funders might go away from the death penalty, and then that could be that won't help us at all. Well, anyway, thank you.
Well, of course, remember, as Amnesty, we're focused on human rights broadly, and we don't prioritize one human right over another. So, you know, I think we're all in favor of broad criminal justice reform on all kinds of issues.
Oh, sure, I understand, but unlike other issues in the death penalty, there's no oops or do-overs. So that's kind of, and it is part of the global. I mean, that's how I look at it, too. I mean, I work on many human rights issues, and they're all important, but on this particular one, after people have been working on it for decades and trying to get rid of it, to be cast, you know, it's just a concern as the movements evolve and activism changes.
Do we have other questions about SDPACs? Okay, so let's move on. James, if you want to start talking about death penalty in the U.S.
Sure. So we wanted to just kind of go over a quick rundown, and I'm actually going to be pretty brief because I think I want to get us over to Christy to hear about Nebraska. But I want to give as quick as I can an overview of three highlighted cases that Amnesty is featuring, as well as state legislation in other states around the country besides Nebraska. So the three cases are, first of all, Reggie, the case Amnesty has highlighted his case for a number of years. He's been on death row in Missouri for 20 years. His original conviction was the result of a coerced confession. He was beaten into confessing. And that conviction was very recently overturned. So Reggie, in November, had his conviction and his death sentence overturned by the Missouri Supreme Court. That was a major victory after years of advocacy on Reggie's behalf. But he remains in prison on a separate charge. And he also, prosecutors have refiled the charges to try him again for the original murder 20 years ago. So he's again facing a death sentence. Now, because he is in retrial, we, you know, what Amnesty is calling for is to take the death penalty off the table, and where he has a new attorney for a new trial, so that kind of puts the case in a little bit of a limbo for a while, and we're holding off on taking any action until his attorneys decide that it's going to be useful. The main thing, what you can do and what was issued in last month's action circular, if you saw that, there was a way to write directly to Reggie to send him a letter of solidarity to say that you're thinking about him. That's an action that his mother has requested and that he has requested. The second case that we're featuring is Richard Glossop. Richard Glossop is on Oklahoma's death row and has a very strong case of innocence. He was convicted based on the testimony of the actual murderer, who testified that he was acting on Mr. Glossop's instructions, but significant evidence has called that into question. Oklahoma has been trying very hard to execute Mr. Glossop. He's had several execution dates and come very, very close to execution. So that's a case we're following very closely. And the third case is Kevin Cooper. He's another one with a strong claim of innocence on California's death row. He's been on death row for 25 years in California. And his case was recently taken up by the Inter-American Commission for Human Rights. And it was found that his trial was not considered fair by international human rights standards. And they called for the death penalty to be taken off the table. So we're also calling on the Jerry Brown, the California governor, to take Kevin Cooper off death row. So those are the three cases, Reggie Clemens, Richard Glossop, and Kevin Cooper, that we're currently highlighting. But again, as we've all said a number of times, Amnesty opposes the death penalty in all cases, and we certainly don't prioritize one case over another. It's really a matter of identifying the cases where we might be able to have an impact and where putting national spotlight on that case can have a broader impact on the death penalty in the United States. So the next thing I wanted to cover is state legislation. Last year, there were over 20 states that considered bills to abolish the death penalty. So no state, or I should say Nebraska, is the only state that passed a bill to abolish the death penalty. And we'll hear more about some pretty crazy legal twists and turns that bill took. But we had bills that were extremely close in Delaware and Kansas. And those are two states that we've been focusing on for a number of years. Both states have strong abolition campaigns with SDPACs that are that have been moving forward for and gaining momentum for a while. So they both came very close this year, and we're hoping that in the next year or 2 years, we might see abolition in Delaware or Kansas. We have reform bills in Ohio. Those are bills to reduce the number of people who are eligible for the death penalty, to have stricter standards for mental illness or intellectual disability. And we've got a number of ballot initiatives happening here in California, where I'm based. In California, we have one ballot initiative this year to abolish the death penalty. And we have a second ballot initiative put forward by prosecutors to expand and speed up the death penalty and try to eliminate some of the safeguards that have been put in place that keep the death penalty slow. So we're kind of dealing with both of those competing ballot initiatives this year in California. Those will be up for vote in November. There are a number of states that have what we call bad bills, similar to the speed it up bill that I talked about in California. We've also got a bill in Oklahoma that, Oklahoma has the death penalty already, and they have a ballot initiative to let the voters vote on putting the death penalty directly into the state constitution to sort of make it stronger and more difficult to repeal in the future. And we've also seen bills in Virginia, Oklahoma, and Tennessee designed to increase the number of methods available for the death penalty, to use things like gas chamber or firing squad or the electric chair when lethal injection hasn't been working. So those are all the bills that we are pretty much simultaneously working on in the National Death Penalty Campaign. And each of those states, you know, hopefully has an SDPAC. There are some of those states that don't have SDPACs, but most of them do, who are coordinating amnesty members and our ability to advocate on all of those bills. So before we kick it over to Christy to hear about Nebraska, are there any questions about any of those three cases or any of the state bills that we're working on?
One question from this is Youngman Kwong, originally from D.C. I'm the one who asked earlier about the evolving sense of decency. Earlier this year, I was following what was happening in Delaware, and I know that the vote was narrowly defeated, so they decided to keep the death penalty in the book. But I also remember that there was the Delaware Supreme Court, I believe, was looking into the law,
right,
to decide whether it was unconstitutional or not. Do we have any updates on that?
Right. Thank
James,
you for that. Yo,
James,
hey,
Abe, if you'd like me to address that.
Yeah, go for it, Abe. Thank you.
Sure. This is Abe Bonowitz. I'm the State Death Penalty Abolition Coordinator for Delaware and also Ohio. Actually, the bill was not defeated entirely. It was voted down in... It was not passed out of committee. A bill in Delaware is not dead unless it is voted down on the floor of the House or the Senate. The bill had passed the Senate. It went to hearing in committee. It was voted. It was not passed out by a vote of 5-4 until they pulled some tricks and they did sign the bill out to have a debate on the floor. And it was voted down on the floor. However, it was not quite dead yet. And as far as I know, it still remains potentially resurrectable because of a technicality that was pulled by our side to have somebody who voted no in order to preserve her right to bring the bill back up. And then before they were able to bring the bill back up, the legislators, the sponsor of the bill, suspended moving forward with the bill, so that because the courts, the state Supreme Court, had basically suspended all capital punishment cases in order to hear arguments about the constitutionality of Delaware's death row in light of a decision from the U.S. Supreme Court in a Florida case, which is the Hearst case, which is about whether you need to have a unanimous jury sentence a person to death as opposed to a judge sentencing a person to death. There are two other states that are similar but not exactly like Florida, and that's Delaware and Alabama. So where the situation is now is that, you know, the case has been briefed by both the prosecutors or the attorney general's office and the public defender in Delaware, and now it's been scheduled for oral arguments on June 15th. So what's going to happen is that argument's going to happen, and then while the Delaware Supreme Court is thinking about how they're going to rule on that, unless somehow they rule within 2 weeks of the oral argument, which would be very unusual, then the clock's going to run out. The session's going to end on June 30th, and at that point, SB 40 will die in Delaware, and then depending on what happens with the court, if the court rules that Delaware's death penalty needs to be revamped, then it is likely that all of the current death sentences, of which there's 13 or 14 right now, would be changed to life without parole, and Delaware would have to write a new statute. And the good news is, depending on what happens in the election, in the state elections next year, we may end up having enough votes to block any fix-it bills, and that could ultimately end up having Delaware without a death penalty. So that's the nutshell of where that stands as it is today.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the update.
Thanks, Abe.
Okay, any other questions on the bills or the cases before we move it on to Nebraska?
I have one. This is Shannon from Arizona. I'm the AC for Arizona. And I have a question on the Richard Glossett case. I've been personally following it extremely closely. I'm wondering if Amnesty International is actually, are we going to be taking action on that, or are we just kind of watching to see what happens? I know that's on hold, and I didn't get a date on when or how long that's supposed to be on hold.
Yeah, we were watching the case closely, and the reason we hadn't taken action yet on the case or issued an action alert is because we hadn't received authorization from Mr. Glossop's attorneys. So I'm hoping that will change soon. I don't know if that was a strategy decision on their part or, you know, if it was just a matter of not being able, you know, they were too busy to actually get and return our calls or whatever. But I'm hoping that'll change soon, and when there's an opportunity for action, we'll be able to take action. But that is a good example. You know, that's an important part of our work, is making sure that when we're working on individual cases, we're in close contact with the attorneys so that we're always working within their strategy.
Great, thanks.
Hey, James, if this is Abe again. I also happen to be working on some stuff in Oklahoma. Tomorrow, Thursday, we're expecting the grand jury to come back with its decision as to whether or not they're going to charge anybody criminally in the botched executions that occurred in Oklahoma. So that's potentially breaking news one way or the other tomorrow. And depending on how that goes, that could trigger a rescheduling of Glossop's execution.
Okay, thanks, Abe. I appreciate that. Let's go ahead and go over to Christy and hear about Nebraska and the time that we've got left.
Okay, thanks a lot for asking me to speak. Can everybody hear me? Well, you're muted, so I won't wait for
you. Yes, you can. You're good.
Okay, good. Well, Nebraska is unique in a number of ways, and so I'm going to give a little bit of background before I talk about what's going on right now in our process that we're in. For one thing, our legislature is the only unicameral legislature in the country. We have one house. People are elected on nonpartisan tickets, and believe it or not, they actually do work across that invisible aisle, and so we actually get things done here. There are 49 members of the legislature. You need 25 votes to pass a bill, and while it's nonpartisan, we do know the party of most members, and most of them are Republicans. Our history of struggle against the death penalty goes way back. About 40 years ago, one independent legislator has brought up the bill to abolish 38 times. And so in 1979, he was finally successful. And the Nebraska legislature became the first state to legislatively repeal the death penalty in 1979. And then, of course, the governor vetoed it. So kind of a deja vu here today. Our last execution before the 90s was in 1959. And so you can see that we don't use it often. We had three executions in the 90s and none since. So we are in that group of states that has not actively had the death penalty in action. The electric chair was our only means of execution, and we were the only place in the world that had that as the only means of execution. So in 2008, our state Supreme Court declared the electric chair cruel and unusual, and we got rid of it. Next year, we started, we passed a lethal injection bill. We've had three commutations in the past 20 years and one exoneration. So we now have 10 people on death row. In the 80s, Nebraskans Against the Death Penalty became an organization that worked against the death penalty, but mostly it was reactionary. When there was an execution scheduled, then we reacted to it and did publicity, and legislatively we didn't really work that much on it. I became SDPAC about 5 years ago. My husband had been SDPAC a few years before, so I kind of knew what the game was all about here. In about 3 or 4 years ago, the NADP, Nebraskans Against the Death Penalty, became Nebraskans for Alternatives to the Death Penalty, and they started a coalition called Nebraska Conservatives Concerned About the Death Penalty. And so that brings us up to what is going on today. 1 year ago, the Nebraska State Legislature voted to abolish the death penalty. It passed by a 32-15 vote. You only need 25 votes to pass a bill. And the governor, of course, vetoed it. And the legislature then overrode the veto. And there were more Republicans voting for the override than there were Democrats. Of course, the one independent. So I can't overstate the importance of the conservative voice in these efforts. Conservatives were concerned about the cost, basically. They considered it wasteful and inefficient, and it was one of the most conservative right-wing leaders who led the charge. And he worked with Ernie Chambers, the independent legislator, and they got it done. The governor wasn't camper about this. In fact, he threatened before the override vote. He said, you don't want to do this because if you do, there will be consequences. I will start a petition. Now, the governor, constitutionally, his job is to carry the laws passed by our state legislature. And he instead put $1 million of his own money. His daddy kicked in $2 million, and they got this petition drive started to put it on the ballot next November. That petition drive got enough signatures last summer, not only to put it on the ballot, but also to stop the repeal going into effect, which means that if we had the drug, and that's another story, but if we had the drugs, they could execute somebody before that ballot. But the governor made a very magnanimous gesture, and he said, well, he'll wait until after that vote before he executes anybody. So that's kind of where we are now, is that we are fighting to get voters aware and educated so that they will vote to retain the bill that was passed by the legislature. Here are some of the steps that we're going through right now. My husband and I are plaintiffs in a lawsuit against the Secretary of State and the petition drive, and we're challenging them because of irregularities in the process of designing the petition and the paperwork that was filed and so forth. That case was heard in district court. The court judge threw it out several months ago. And now the state Supreme Court is going to hear the case 25th of May. So everybody, think positive thoughts, send prayers, keep your fingers crossed, whatever. We think we might have about a 50-50 chance of succeeding with our present Supreme Court. But we're not just going to wait. What we're doing, I am working with the Nebraskans for Alternatives to the Death Penalty, and a new group that has come up that's called Retain a Just Nebraska. And right now, today, we had a press conference, and that conservative legislator is going out across the state. He's starting his tour tomorrow, and he'll hit several communities in the rural western third of the state, actually about half of the state is in that area. And he's going to be doing press conferences, town hall meetings, and he and some of the staff of Retain Just Nebraska will be talking with the voters there and trying to educate them about this, the ballot initiative. And then I think again in June, he and another legislator are going to go on a similar tour. Then what we're really excited about is that the Journey of Hope will be in Nebraska in July. It's the 17th or 18th through the 23rd or 24th. I don't have my calendar in front of me. But the Journey of Hope, for those of you who don't know, is a group of abolitionists. Some of them are murder victim family members. Some are exonerated death row inmates. And just some are amnesty activists. And so what they do is travel across the state in teams and set up meetings with people, and their stories are always very powerful. I know Abe had one in Ohio last year, and other states have probably hosted the Journey of Hope. So this is at a really propitious, propitious time for us right now. So we're going to, after that, continue with our campaign of education. We need to educate people who don't really ever think about the death penalty and just say, well, they get what they deserve. We want to use the conservative voices, and I also want to say that the Catholic bishops have, and a lot of other faith leaders, have really been going all out on this, and it's been invaluable. The reason that we need to do education just on the ballot initiative itself is because the wording is really confusing. My guess is that that was intentional, but you vote to retain, and if you vote yes to retain, that's good, because what you're retaining is the repeal. And you're not retaining the death penalty, you're retaining the repeal. And so this could work both for us and against us. So we want the people on, we want to persuade people that they want to retain the bill. And we're hoping that other people won't be as well educated, and they'll think retain means, you know, retain the death penalty, and then we'll get their vote too. But we really need to do a lot of educating. So why does Nebraska really matter in all of this? Well, Nebraska is basically a red state. So it's kind of a bellwether state. The rest of the country is watching what we're doing. And in fact, the whole world is watching what we're doing. And we're hoping that if Nebraska votes for abolition, the rest of the states will come tumbling, or those states, except for the 18, will come tumbling after. And another way, Nebraska is one of those states James mentioned where sometimes external pressure doesn't work with the state leaders. But in this case, it's the leaders have already spoken, and it's the voters who are going to be the critical element. So what you can do to help us is that if you know anybody in Nebraska, talk to them, sound them out, listen to them, and then if you think you need to intervene, then by all means. But later, in a couple of months maybe, really appreciate participating in a phone bank of Nebraska AI members, and the details will come later about that. But education is right now the key, and we want to appeal to people's sense of conservatism, but also to the sense of morality of the death penalty, and also the chances of executing somebody who's innocent. So we want to hit on all of those different areas. So I'm hoping that you will keep watching for any word from James and or from your whoever is in your region, your SDPAC and so forth, because we will be asking for some help in the near future. So that's a quick rundown, quick and dirty. Are there any questions?
Hi, this is Youngmin again from DC. Sorry for asking so many questions. I was very interested. I may have missed her, but earlier, I thought I heard that you saying that the main concern of the conservatives who are for repealing the death penalty is a cost issue. Could you elaborate on that? So the conservatives are not supporting the death penalty because of our concern for adhering to the international standard for the right to life, but just the cost? Is that what you're saying?
That seems to be the one issue that is driving a lot of the conservative concerns. Now, of course, they're concerned about issues of innocence and so forth, but they're less concerned about that broader notion that you mentioned. A lot of people have the misapprehension that it's more costly to keep somebody in prison for life. And that's one of the things that the conservative voters, the conservatives in the legislature, responded very favorably to the argument of fiscal responsibility. They thought that, and also the cost of drugs that our governor ordered and paid for from a shady place in India, and of course that was taxpayer money that we're never going to see the drugs. The guy actually fled. You know, he went somewhere else who was supposed to be the middleman. And so there was just some, this is what they thought. It was inefficient. It was not reasonable. But there is another conservative argument that the governor is saying that this protects, having the death penalty protects the prison workers and the other inmates, because we've had some riots in the prison and so forth. And so if we can keep the penalty, that will protect. But of course, the people who in the prisons are doing this are not the people on death row, those 10 people.
Right.
It's the gang members and the drug people and, you know, a lot of other nasty people who are in prison who have been doing this, but the governor is trying to make it look like it's the death row that's the problem. And so that's another one of the things that this conservative guy was talking about today in the press conference, and that we need to correct some misapprehensions or misconceptions about the death penalty. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Junmin. Is there anybody else with a question?
I do have a question, actually. My name is Marissa Beller. I'm from Ohio, and I was wondering if a group wanted to have like a speaker or like an expert come and talk about the death penalty and advocate for abolition. Who can they contact to like get in touch with someone who can do that?
Abe, you want to jump on?
Sure. If you just send me an email, abe@otse.org. That's abe@otse.org. I can hook you up. Victim family members, death row survivors, former death row wardens, death row families. We've got them all.
Abe's your guy.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Hi, I have a question.
Good.
Yeah, this is Kathy Taylor. I'm a group coordinator in Massachusetts. It's just been great listening to this discussion. It's such informed people, informed and articulate people on this issue that's so important. My group is very concerned about this issue, And we're actually hosting an event this fall with Sister Helen Prejean. My question is kind of building on the previous question. How can we get in touch with all of you who are so active in this movement through Amnesty? I just took a quick look on the Amnesty website. I don't see a page or anything where, you know, where we can get in get contact information. I looked in the Jewish Resource Center. I didn't see anything either.
Okay, Cassie, this is Ed, Edwin Gore, the moderator.
Yep.
And you could always contact me. My name is on the email that you received. It's egur@aiusa.org. And I can put you in touch with anyone who was on the call.
Okay.
I'd be glad to help.
Oh, that's
great.
I'll just say
you don't actually have an SDPAC in Massachusetts. So there's you can get in touch with me as the national campaigner, and I'll be happy to work with you. And we also have your field organizers, who I'm sure you're already in touch with, and your field organizers can help and also can connect you with the other death penalty resources that are available.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Great.
This is Terry Riddell, and I'm the SDPAC from Oregon, but I'm also on the Activist Resource Community Support, which is the ARC, where I'm going to mention that we probably should someplace where we do have a document that says, here are your SDPAC, with how you get your questions answered. That's come up before, but I think now that you've mentioned it, we have to have that resource somewhere. So that would at least direct you to who you should call.
Okay. Anyone?
And, yeah, this is Christy, and I want to put in a plug, and I bet Ernest knows what this is going to be all about. I want to put in a plug for the Special Initiatives Fund. I'm the Midwest representative of that, and each region has somebody, except for the Mid-Atlantic. And we fund projects up to $1,500. So if you have something coming up, we're on the members site, and it's SIF, or Special Initiatives Fund. We are actually helping to fund the Journey of Hope in Nebraska. We help fund the journeys past and in other states. And a lot of our cases that we fund are death penalty related. Pardon?
This is Terry in Oregon. I want to support that because we did have an event a couple of years ago with Jen Marlowe, who wrote the book I Am Troy Davis, and Troy Davis' sister came to Oregon, and they spoke. Both of them spoke at an event. And I got the funding through the Special Initiatives Fund and others.
Okay. This is great. Well, Christy, I wanted to mention one thing to you. It's also possible, if you contact me, we can send a directed email to members and activists in your state. We've done this for other states as well had death penalty legislation. And there's a form available in the Amnesty Resource Community and ARC. And you can just fill that out, and we'll get it, and we can work out the email send, okay?
Great, thank you.
Okay, do we have any final comments here? Okay, so thank you for a great call. I'd like to thank our excellent speakers for making themselves available this evening and for sharing their knowledge and expertise with all of you today. Thanks also to everyone who called in to take part in the call. We really appreciate your support and invite you to join us again on June 29th for our next call. So
thanks
thank you
so
very much,
everyone. And thank you very much, Ed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Ed? Did you stay on the line, Ed?